A play fake. Young goes deep middle. He's got Jerry Rice. Touchdown 49ers!
Welcome to another edition of the 49ers Family Podcast, where three generations of 49ers fans break down the game each week. And you hear from Grandpa Mike as he shares personal experiences and stories since he became a fan in 1949. My name is Josh. I'm here with my dad, Jared, again. Grandpa Mike is still enjoying himself on the off the Amalfi Coast or whatever in the Mediterranean Sea. And we are here picking it up. And I will just say, we are back, baby. Woo!
You know it.
It has been a while since we got to break down a win, and so this one feels extra good. A dominating win, start to finish, against quote-unquote the hottest team in the NFL, the Jaguars, coming in at 6-2, five straight wins. Booyah, blew the doors off of them in this game, 34-3. We're going to break it down. We're going to talk about kind of the points of the game, how we did on our projections, some notes and news coming out of the game. And then, of course, we'll preview the Buccaneers game at home, afternoon slot, beautiful day in Santa Clara. It's going to be epic. Niners are already a 12-point favorite. Whoa. So should be a great one. But, Dad, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling real good. It looked so good. Seeing the Niners do their thing, it looked like the Niners were back. Coming off a bye week and a dominating performance against the Jags. And the Jags coming off their bye week as well. So It was a statement win, I felt. And our defense showed up big time. You know, Wilkes was down on the field, our defensive coordinator. Fred Young was flying around doing his thing right out of the box at the beginning of the game and throughout the game. Made some big plays in an interception. Yeah, and just watching our defense, that was very impressive. Yes. Having Chase Young and Hargrave and Bosa and even Armstead, five sacks for the defensive crew. I mean, against the Jags, that was very impressive. And that's 49er football. I mean, other teams have their their hands full trying to stop our pass rush for sure. But we stopped the run well too. We just played all around a good game. And then our offense was flowing. Purdy was through for 300 yards, three TDs, no interceptions, protected the ball. Ball protection is very, very important. And he had to break that streak, that five interception streak over the past, I think, three games. So, and then Christian McCaffrey did his thing. Kittle, he made just some spectacular catches and big plays. Debo, Ayuk, everybody was doing their thing. So, I mean, it was top to bottom eye candy for a 49er fan.
It was awesome. I'll say one of my takeaways from this game is, you know, we talk about the weapons, we talk about Brock Purdy, and obviously this offense is so potent. But I really think when it comes down to it, and the last three games are kind of an indicator of this, I think the defense sets the tone for this team.
Absolutely.
As much as, like I said, as much as the offense can do and does do and has put up 30 plus points in now I think five or six games this season, which is pretty impressive. The defense is where they get their energy from. It's interesting. You wouldn't think that an offense that has the weapons that we do would be like that, that they would bring the energy and the defense would respond. We are, to your point, Dad, the defensive minded, that is at our core, that is our strength, and the offense I think
beats off that.
Plays off of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I felt like there was some excitement swirling around the defense just at the start of the game. They came out of the box so strong, so quick, hit hard, putting pressure on Lawrence right away. Wilkes is on the field, but having Chase Young there and Hargrave and Bosa, they just feel unstoppable and like they're on a mission. And then Fred Warner just lighting up everything. Greenlaw was there, and Warner feeds off Greenlaw. Warner's at his best when Greenlaw's next to him. So, and then that is contagious. Players like Kittle and Christian McCaffrey, they're kind of like this blue collar, hard nosed guys that are gritty, and that defense is gritty, and it filters into the offense. And then even our offensive line played very well. Trent Williams was very mobile and very active, and that was huge for us too. And that just gave Brock Purdy enough time, and Brock Purdy made some great throws, had some good open looks, and Christian McCaffrey just keeps pounding the ball. The guy is like, it's like waves on the ocean pounding the sand, just pound it. And then Debo is flying around these big arcing, you know, runs and circles and stuff. I mean, it's a lot to handle for when we are healthy and firing on all cylinders. We can be a dominant team, and definitely a team that could go all the way.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, we talked about this last week, or maybe it was the week before, about how these bye weeks come at the right time. And it really obviously sucked to lose three games in a row going into that bye week. But I will say that if we did not, if we pulled out a win against the Bengals before the bye, I don't think these guys would have been that locked and loaded for 2 weeks. They had to stew on a three-game losing streak on a Super Bowl caliber team. I think it lit a fire. I mentioned last week, Nick Bosa stayed in town to work and get Chase Young up to speed. I think, you know, you always look at a season one game at a time, but then you have to step back and look at it from a whole. Last year we did this year too. I think obviously nobody wants to lose three games in a row, but that adversity, that kind of circumstance, it changes you, and it changes you for the good. I mean, good teams change for the good. Good other teams fold and lose six in a row. But we know the potential of this team. So it was exciting to see. Last comment before we get into some of it is a little bummed that Christian McCaffrey didn't get in the end zone break the record. He's tied for first consecutive games with a touchdown. They sure tried to get him one down at the end. I actually I got to see some of the game, but then I didn't get to see the fourth quarter slash. Also, they switched around. That's what it was. They switched away from it to the Bengals and to the Browns-Ravens game. And so I was tracking it on my phone, and I see Elijah Mitchell. They're just handing the ball. Boom, boom, boom. And all of a sudden I see Christian McCaffrey. I'm like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
Pretty good. And then I was like, oh, they're trying to get him a touchdown. The Jaguars defense probably played their best four straight plays of the game down there. So that was kind of funny.
They did. They stuffed him. I mean, unfortunately, they also knew he was going to get the ball, you know? Just to be put in that position, he was very grateful at the end of the game that the team believed in him and gave him an opportunity to punch the ball in, if you will. That would have been just the icing on the cake to see him get number 19 or 19th.
Yeah, he said, I listened to an interview or a tidbit from an interview that he had after, I think it was even like after Sunday, it was like Monday or Tuesday. And he said, you know what, I thought I would be a little bit more bummed if I didn't get it. But honestly, I'm tied for first. It's not like I'm stuck in second or something. Tied for first. we won the game the way that we did. And all in all, you know, this is not about me. This is about, you know, winning games and getting to the Super Bowl. So, you know, it is, you know, it's a culture thing. It's a team thing. Players, as much as they're playing for the team, also you play for pride, play for your personal pride, for your family, for your team. So I think Shanahan recognized that. Christian McCaffrey wanted it, and so he gave him the opportunity rather than just shutting him down. Mm-hmm. Almost like a pitcher on the mound that, you know, wants to stay in the game. The, you know, coach comes out there and he's like, you know, let me stay in the game. Come on, I can do this. And sometimes the coaches let him stay in there. Sometimes they say, no, you got to get out of here. But he let him go. And so I think that's cool. I support it. I mean, obviously you don't want anybody to get hurt. Which
that
is
was the thing.
Risk that you run. But, and he is potentially our most, I'd say Brock Purdy is our most important player on offense. And Christian McCaffrey is the second.
For sure. Absolutely. Yes.
So yeah, let's look at the box score. Looking at the team stats first, you mentioned it. We did shut down their run game. They only they rushed for 59 yards on 17 attempts. We rushed for 144 on 30 attempts for a 4.8 yard per rush average. Penalties, we did rack up 7 penalties. Didn't love to see that. But I think the most glaring thing that really is kind of the first domino in a lot of these, when you look at the stats from time of possession to first downs to total plays, yards, etc., is Jaguars turned over the ball 4 times and we did not turn over the ball. That
humongous.
Show me a game where anybody there was a +4 turnover margin and they lost the game. It's probably happened, but I would say 99% of the time you're going to win that game. Grandpa talks about it every single time. That turnover margin is huge. Great to see. You know, we did score outside of the red zone a bunch, but inside the red zone, we were only 1 for 4. So definitely something that we could improve. And even similar to that, you know, third down efficiency wasn't great. 4 for 12, same as the Jags, 4 for 12, you know, 33%. Typically want to be north of 50%. But still, all in all, you win by 31 points. You can't complain too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are similar box score things that I saw as well. I really liked Christian McCaffrey, 142 yards total offense for him, you know, rushing 100 yards approximately, you know, receiving 50 yards approximately, those types of things. I love that we didn't turn over the ball. That was huge. And I love our balanced attack. You know, it seems like we were averaging 200 yards passing, 100 yards rushing. We were 300 yards. Passing, 150 yards rushing approximately. So just a real balanced attack. And I mean, really what stands out is defensively, we had the 5 sacks, the turnovers, interception recovery, things like that. That was a bummer that Avery Thomas, his fumble recovery, return for a touchdown. We got called back because we had guys running on the field celebrating, you know.
Kyle Shanahan was on the field.
I know. That was terrible. So I'm like that. I mean, this score could have been 41, you know. So anyhow, that was kind of disappointing. And just a reminder, you know, the play is still alive until the refs call it dead or blow the whistle. So that was just a, you know, just a excitement mistake there, but that's a teaching moment for the team and the coaching staff, if you will. So that was kind of a big bummer. But yeah, it was just all around a nice balanced attack. Red zone, like you said, I see that too, that, you know, 1 for 4 in the red zone. I'd like to convert at least 50% or more in the red zone. So I never like to see it like that. But we protected the ball and our defense showed up. And we're going to win every single football game if we can protect the ball and not turn it over and our defense shows up. It's, we got the weapons. We can get it done.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, we know. Lead the NFL in interceptions with 13 thus far this season, which is
that's awesome.
It's more than one a game.
Yeah, I did not know that. That's impressive.
Yeah. All right. Not that anybody really cares, but it is fun to track. The based on our score predictions, Grandpa did send in a score prediction before the game. He said 24-20. I said 24-23, and Dad, you said 24-21. So we all thought we had scored 24 points. We were off by 10.
Yeah.
But with Grandpa's late entry, he actually squeaked out the closest because he had the Jaguars scoring the fewest and us winning by 4 points. So I gave it to him. So he is still in the lead, 4 games closest. Me and you are tied for 2.5. I continue to struggle both against the spread and with the over under. I am now 2-7 against the spread, 3-6 with the over under. And you and Grandpa are actually the same, 4-5 against the spread and 5-4 in the over under. So about 500 in both.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I mean, I guess wrapping up Jaguars talk, you know. Mentioned the red zone. Brock Purdy, you mentioned he had 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. He's the only QB this year to have 2 3 touchdown, no interception games. So that's worth something. I guess let's talk about Brock Purdy really quick.
Yeah, let's do it.
Brock Purdy through week 10. This is crazy. Passer rating, number 1 in the league. QBR, number 1 in the league. Yards per attempt, number 1 in the league. That's a big quarterback stat. Adjusted EPA per play, number 1 in the league. Big time throw rate. They say he can't, he doesn't have an arm, whatever. 5th in the league. Completion percentage, 7th in the league. Passer rating under pressure, number 1. Completion percentage under pressure, number 1. Yards per attempt under pressure, number 1. As he's had 5 interceptions this year. There are only 5 quarterbacks that have thrown fewer. So there's some kind of qualifying. 5 starts or more is the qualifying thing. Of all the quarterbacks that have started at least 5 games, there's only 5 fewer. So he is killing it. He's still Brock Purdy. I think there's still a lot that he can learn. Some of the reason why we lost those games I mentioned the last week is that we only put up 17 points, and a lot of that came down to interceptions in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
He had the first touchdown of the game of this Jaguars game was a little dicey. Kyle Shanahan said that's maybe the worst decision he's ever made. I can imagine. I don't know if they asked him particularly about that play, but if I'm going to justify it like I would as a Niner fan, I think he was trying to throw it pretty much out of the back of the end zone, but to give Brandon Ayuk a shot.
Yeah.
Because he was fading away and actually went a little bit short, but still was further enough far enough that BA was able to pull it down.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little crazy, but
absolutely. That I held my breath there, you know, he was running to his left, stops and throws back to the middle of the field. You know, that's usually the ball loses all its momentum, you know, doing that. So like you said, it just came up a little short, probably was doing just what you'd like to do. But, you know, that's the way things happen. The harder you work, the luckier you get, you know. So you're going to make some big plays that might look a little lucky. And it's just because you're doing all the other things right. And it's going to, you know, you're going to come up all 7 sometimes and it's going to convert. So he did. And yeah, we'll take that one. That was crazy. Sure. Yeah. But he He plays very well. He is just a perfect distributor of the ball for the weapons that we have and the style of team that we have. And Kyle Shanahan just knows how to play to his strengths, if you will. And the more time he's under Shanahan, the better I think Brock Purdy will get, you know, just because they get to know each other very well and Shanahan knows how to kind of get the most out of them. So, but yeah, his stats speak for, it speaks for itself for sure. And so fun to watch. Yeah.
Yeah. How about that throw to Kittle where he stayed in the pocket and pretty much threw over a guy in his face? Like he couldn't actually even complete his whole follow through of his arm because there's a guy right there.
He was there,
perfectly placed. Amazing.
He was swallowed up. I mean, he literally like, it was like standing at the bottom of a, you know, in a hole and throwing out of a hole. Yeah. And made that nice pass. That was a tough pass to make, even if he was, you know, had all the time in the world in the pocket. Yeah. But yeah, that was really fun. Yeah. He's, yeah, I love watching that guy. So
fun. Very last thing you mentioned already, but Nick Bosa, Chase Young, Nick Bosa was named the NFC Defensive Player of the Week. And I think a lot of that has to do with that. They had Chase Young on the other side. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of quote unquote meet me at the quarterback talk, which I just love. I think this is hilarious.
Yes.
Yeah, the quarterback. And man, they had that one sack that they shared where actually, you know, Bosa recovered the fumble. It caused recovered the fumble. And can't wait to see those guys just continue to kill it.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. No, it's a ton of fun. And yeah, they'll keep us in every game. If they can stay healthy and we can stay healthy. And having Debo running around, just he guy is just fast. And just these big, like I said, arcing runs, and then Christian McCaffrey pounding the ball and sweeping out to the side at times, and Kittle going down the middle, and then Ayuk streaking, running posts and stuff. It is so much activity in all the movement that Shanahan puts in. It's trouble when everybody is healthy, you know? And also a big thing, we talked about it last week, is Purdy always plays very well when we're not playing from behind, you know? If we can score first and stay out front, Purdy can play within himself so much better and not push the ball, because he can be a little bit of a gambler at times. And that's why we've turned over the balls in those past three games. Largely, we were playing from behind much of the time. So, which is uncharacteristic of what he's had to do in the league and what we've had to do as a team, you know, for the past, you know, year and a half or so. So anyhow, yeah, we got to come out strong, put some points on the board and just let her rip. And that is huge.
Yep. All right. Last thing, game balls. We haven't done game balls in a while. I forgot about it.
Yeah.
If you could pick one person, Dad, who would you give a game ball to?
I would say, offensively, I'd give it to Christian McCaffrey because he just puts the defense on their heels. So I'd say Christian McCaffrey would be, in this game, I would say I'd give him my game ball. And defensively, obviously, the defense, I would give him game ball number two.
Okay. Yeah, I would give it to put on Nick Bosa. I said the defense sets the tone. I think a lot of that came from Nick Bosa this week. I think he deserves to be NFC Defensive Player of the Week. I think Trevor Lawrence made business decisions a lot of the time, and which led to the five sacks, the fumbles, the interceptions, and I think all of that came from the D-line. The whole D-line had a great game, but if I had to give it to one person, I'd give it to Nick Bosa because I think he is the leader there, that they, the silent leader that they follow.
I agree. I can't argue with that for sure.
All right. Now let's talk about Buccaneer week. All right. This is Sunday afternoon at home. Mentioned the Niners are favored by 12 points. The over-under is set at 41. Buccaneers coming in at 4-5, so around 500. The Niners lead the all-time series 19-6. Very lopsided there.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, to be a beautiful day, 68 degrees and sunny at game time. Niners are wearing their standard standard red home uniforms. Should look good. Let's get into it. From an injury perspective, we obviously did not see Aaron Banks last week against the Jags, nor will we see him again this week. John Feliciano actually filled in brilliantly for him at, I believe, the right guard position. So that was great. Nick Zakel, unfortunately, just went on IR today due to a bicep injury that he suffered in the game. Other kind of really things to note is really just Demetrius Flanagan Fowles, limited participant with an ankle today, and Colton McKivitz. Something to watch. Ankle and knee was a limited participant today. So, interesting. We mentioned the three players that came off IR over the bye: Robert Beal Jr., Daryl Luter Jr., and Samuel Womack. They are in their, what did I forget, it's called practice window. That I forget how long it is. I think it's like 3 weeks. So they have a little bit more time, but they are also listed on the injury report, although they are full participants. On the Buccaneers side, they have a few injuries. I don't know the extent of them. And once again, this is Wednesday, so we don't know if they're questionable, probable, out for the game. But, some names on there are Mike Evans, which we'll talk about, wide receiver, great, great wide receiver. He was a limited participant today with a quadricep injury. And then Devin White, their linebacker that was a beast back when they won the Super Bowl a few years ago, he did not practice today with a foot injury. A couple other guys, one guy, concussion, a couple other limited participants. Ryan Neal, free safety, did not practice with a thumb injury. So they're a little banged up, but nothing too crazy, it would seem. All right, let's look at this Buccaneer team, what they're good at, maybe what they're not good at. Dad, what are some things we need to know about this Buccaneer team?
Well, I don't know a lot about them. I haven't paid a lot of attention, but I know Baker Mayfield is having a good year as their quarterback, and he's historically, I think of Baker Mayfield, a guy who turns over the ball, who's a kind of a riverboat gambler of sorts in the backfield. But he has protected the ball very nicely, distributed to, Goodwin and Evans and, or Godwin, I should say. Primarily they are a passing team. They tend to be a little anemic on rushing. Defensively, I don't know a lot about them. It looks like they are pretty decent defensively. They rank eighth in points against at 19 points a game, allowing 19 points a game. So they only score a little over 19 points on average. So that's why they are almost a 500 record, if you will. So they tend to be a little, not a lot of firepower except for their, Evans and Godwin and with Baker, and defensively, like I said, fairly strong, but, nothing too impressive for me as I look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, although, anything can happen. We got to show up. So,
right. Yeah. I mean, anything can happen. This is still the NFL, but. Yeah. Some things that I think are worth noting. Bucks have just 8 turnovers this year, which is tied for second best in the NFL, and have had 16 takeaways. So that is worth noting.
Sure.
That plus 8 turnover margin is tied for third in the NFL and same as the 49ers. And, you know, we mentioned Baker Mayfield. What's kind of interesting, he's seen man coverage on just 33.8% of the dropbacks, which is second lowest in the league. He's seen zone on 65.9% of his dropbacks, which is second highest in the league. It's understandable, though, because he has a QBR of 82.6 against man, which is fifth in the league, and 48.8 against zone, which is 18th in the league. So makes sense. The Niners are obviously going to mix some things up and give him different looks, so he can't predict anything. But the Niners will most likely stick to some of their zone coverage in this game because he's not as good against it. You mentioned their running attack isn't great. Rashad White is their running back. Although he only averages 48 yards a game on 3.3 yards per carry, they only average 78 rushing yards per game, which is second worst in the NFL. Definitely a favorable matchup. They are 4-5. You got to respect them. You got to respect the game. Turnovers, that's the thing that kind of scares me a little bit because it's been well noted on here that I'm a BYU fan, and BYU is not great this year, but the games that they have won this year are the games that they have won the turnover battle. It's an equalizer. And so the Niners need to take care of the ball. And if they do so, they should be okay in this game. So I guess, keys to the game. I just shared one right there. Dad, what do you think? What are some keys to the game that you would say are important for this one?
I would say play Niner football. We have to come out fast and hard, preferably score first and get ahead and don't play from behind. If we can do that, our defense will be on fire. And they're going to really put the wood on the Buccaneers. I think they're going to have a lot of trouble scoring. So, but I think come out fast and hard, scoring first, not playing from behind, and then protecting the ball for us. And then I think it'll be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. I was going to say, honestly, something really similar. Just in a game that you're supposed to win by 12 points, I think it's so important to win the first half. You don't want question marks leading into the second half. This game should be, 21-3 at halftime or something kind of like it ended up being here with the Jags. But it's interesting that Brock Purdy has now started 17 games, or the equivalent of a full season. His first start, because he came in against, I believe, the Dolphins, and he played three quarters. But his first, week of prep and first game was against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers in Tampa last year. And we dominated that game. I think we won 37-7 or something like that. And it didn't leave a question. There was no question at halftime what we were doing and how we were doing it. And that's the type of game that I would love to see this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. And honestly, that is Niner football. And like we've commented before, when we play from the front and we lead the pack and we're not playing from behind, again, it helps our defense even more, because that their offense becomes more and more desperate, more predictable. It feeds our way. So we just got to have a quick start for sure. We'll do well.
Yeah, and I mean, you made the point as well that the Bucks are primarily a passing team. Mm-hmm. That's going to eat right into our hand from our pass. Sure. Our pass rush is otherworldly. So that definitely, our strengths match up with their weaknesses in this one. I think that's evident in the spread. That Vegas has us winning by 12 points. So should be Should be an interesting one. Let's talk about score predictions, and then we can, close with some thoughts. But, I think I just mentioned I would love to see the Niners up 21-3 at halftime. I think that's very, very, very possible. I think we win this one 30-12. This one should not be close if we take care of the ball, if we do those things. I think 12 is a big spread, but this one I see more disparities than normal.
I agree with you very much. I'm predicting San Francisco Niners 34-10. So Niners by, what's that, 24 points. That's serious. But again, we got to protect the ball. If we protect the ball, we can put 34 up and we can win by 24 points. So yeah, that's what I'm calling.
And it's at home. Mentioned it's in the good time slot. You don't have to get to the they can wake up at a good time, get True. To the stadium. That's like this afternoon slot at home is just very, very nice for the fans, for the players, for me. So I love this time slot. Something to note is in 2 weeks, I believe, from this one, we will play the Eagles, and that's obviously a big game. It's in Eagles country, which I don't like at all, but there was a lot of talk of that one would probably be flexed to Sunday Night Football. It did not. So it's going to stay in the, I forget which slot it is, but it'll stay at its regularly programmed time. And I guess it is worth mentioning just because the Niners, I just checked, have a 99% chance of making the playoffs as it currently stands, which it shouldn't come as a surprise with the expanded playoff. Mm-hmm. But obviously, we talked about it in the very beginning, as much as the Niners need to win the division, and they need to, which includes the two upcoming games against the Seahawks that are the sandwich between or around that Philadelphia game, what are the Eagles doing? How are they doing? They have only lost one game, but they have quite the onslaught or gauntlet, I guess you should call it, coming up here soon. They are about to go on quite the journey. In fact, they are playing the Chiefs this week on Monday Night Football, then the Bills, then us, then the Cowboys, then the Seahawks.
Wow.
So,
yeah,
I think a lot of the seeding is really going to come down to these next five games, including just like with any game, when you think about playoff contention, etc. The games where you play them, your opponent directly, counts as kind of a double game. So the Niners are playing the Eagles. So if the Niners win and the Eagles lose, boom, like that's big in standings go. So, but can't look ahead of yourself. And, what was interesting is that Fred Warner was breaking down the locker room post-game huddle. And he didn't say it explicitly, but he did say, from here on out, guys, one game at a time. One game at a time. That's Tampa next week. Let's focus on them. Let's go. And you could kind of glean from that, like read in between the lines type of deal, that I think they ate into the talk that they were legit, that they were, they could go 17-0. We talked about it here, and got ahead of themselves a little bit and didn't respect the opponents ahead of them, including the Browns, which their defense continues to be legit, although they just lost Deshaun Watson for the season, so their year is most likely over. And then, everything kind of compounded with the Vikings game and then the Bengals game. But once again, here we are, lesson learned. If we lose another one, I hope that, we don't have to go through that cycle again, that we can ride our momentum and take down some of these games. I mean, the Seahawks aren't going to be easy. But they're also their point differential, I think they're -1 on the year. So, and the Niners are like something crazy, like +60. So the Seahawks, those are big games. Eagles, those are big games. But the biggest game of them all is this next one on the schedule. That's the Tampa Bay Bucks. So one game at a time.
Absolutely. One game at a time. And honestly, it all boils down to personally is our defense. If we can show up like we did, and I think we will, I think the defense is wide awake. If they show up, we're going to have a very good run for sure. It all hinges on our defense because it changes what our offense can do. And even our play calls everything. So defensively, that's huge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
No, well, it's going to be fun.
It should be fun for sure. That'll do it for another episode of 49ers Family. Thanks for tuning in. And go Niners.
Go Niners.